Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're going to be talking about stop reciprocating. We're going to be taking a look at Jeremiah 32, where God says, I'm going to make this new covenant where I'm only going to do continually good for you. And this idea, God has stopped reciprocating us, doing bad or evil when we miss it or have messed up. God is just doing continually good. He made this decision, this commitment, this covenant commitment to just do continually good for us all the time. And we can learn to do the same. But let's get started with prayer. We are going to start with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communion times is this. We start with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer, which is mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez. And then we take a couple minutes to do the other half of prayer, to get still, to listen to God, to examine ourselves, to plan our upcoming day with God, and to listen for his leading in our life as we do that leading in as a time of examination before we take communion. And so we're going to get started with the prayer here. We're going to make a couple changes today. If you've been following along, we're going to make a couple changes in how we do the other half of prayer today. A couple little nudges I feel God's been giving me about making some adjustments. I think you're going to feel an instant shift and an instant change in your emotional states based on how we're going to do this here coming up in just a minute. But let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all their families, their friends, those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I just thank you. I thank you for releasing us from the darkness, for transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. We thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us, and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us, and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, we ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness and all you want to do in our lives, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world, starting with the people right around us. We ask you to keep your hand on us, help us do what's right and best in your eyes today, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, so we're going to make a couple changes in the other half of prayer here. And it's going to have to do with, we're going to start with positioning. Our first goal, God has released us from the darkness, transferred us into the light, and we want to position our minds focused on the light. So the first question, and if you want a tracker for this, if you go to the abundantlifetrainingcenter.com on our free tools and resources page, you can find some more training on this process, along with a tracker that you can use to track along with us here. But the first question, what's going well? What are you grateful for? What are your wins and testimonies over the last day? We want to keep our minds focused and positioned on the light. Remember this, whatever you are focused on, you're going to get more of. If you're focused on the light and what's going well and how far you've come, these types of things, you're going to get more of that. But you focus on the darkness, the evil, the bad things that are going on, you're going to see more of that. So let's position our minds in the light first. And let's just write down a few things. There's something powerful, not just about thinking about it, but actually writing it down, getting it flowing out of you. You could speak it, you can write it, but getting it flowing out of your system, there's something powerful that happens. Then our next question. Again, this has to do with positioning. God has given us everything he has. And he put it in Christ on the inside of us. He has given us his peace. He has given us his peace. And his peace is our indicator. His peace just overflowing in our life is our indicator that we are, number one, in faith, and we are single-minded. We are single-minded on, we've got my mind fixed on the things above, that God is working, as we're going to talk about today. God is working continually for my good. That God is working continually for my good. So here's what I want you to do. In the area of our emotions, our table turner, the most important thing in the area of our emotions is the imagination. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes just for a second. We're going to do it for about 10 seconds. Just close your eyes, and I'll do it with you. We're going to close our eyes, and I want you to envision you are seated at God's right hand. You are in Christ. You are one with Christ, seated with him next to God at God's right hand. And God has given you purpose and grace there. Everything you need is there. And he is working continually for our good. That's our heavenly position. Now, we've got to take that positioning. We've got to bring it into the everyday moments of our life. Now, a lot of times, my peace is my indicator that I'm focused on that God is continually working for my good. A lot of times these issues could be health issue, relationship issue, financial pressures, whatever. These issues come at us in life. And we lose our peace because we get our focus on those things rather than keeping that heavenly position that I just had. A lot of this is just simply about positioning our mind and our imagination, our emotions, positioning them where they're supposed to be. And we're supposed to be walking in overflowing levels of peace and joy. So the simple question over the last day, how is my levels of overflowing peace? If the answer was not that good, then it's simply just go through that exercise we just did. Get your mind single-minded, focused back on God again. Get your mind that he is working continually for your good. He's doing good for you all the time. And, you know, health problems, financial problems, relationship problems, none of those are any issues. Also, one key is to stop toiling. If I'm seated at God, I can stop toiling. I can rest in my mind and my soul and stop trying to figure everything out, working every problem from every angle in my mind. And I can give those to God. I can be just sit there with him and he can teach me what to do. It's been my experience. The more I try to solve problems and figure everything out in my mind, it just makes things worse. I come up with solutions that lead to more problems and side effects. And I just end up more confused most of the time. But if I will give it to him and just sit there and rest with him and wait for him to kind of show me and teach me what to do, he will always give me beautiful solutions that not only do they not have negative side effects, they actually create ripple effects for good across every area of my life. And the same will be true for you. If you just learn how to give those things to him and to stop toiling and spinning them around in your mind all the time. Just this idea of simple rest for your soul is so powerful. Then, how are our levels of joy over the last 24 hours? This overflowing joy is supposed to be our state. Now, joy is our indicator that we are living in the present moment. In God's presence, there is fullness of joy. We've been seated with God. There's peace, but then there's also joy. In God's presence, there's fullness of joy. So joy is our indicator that I'm being more present in my day. I'm not dwelling on the past. I'm not worrying about the future. I'm not living in regret over the past or worrying about the future. I'm living in the present moment. God is I am, and he's with me in the present moment in everything that I do. And so joy is my indicator that I'm living in the present moment. When I get worried about the past or the future, that's when I lose my joy often. Joy is my indicator of living in the present moment. Now, is there a time to look back? Yes, we positioned our mind first by looking back at what was going well. Is there a time to look ahead and see where we're going? Yes, there's a time to vision and plan with God. But some of that comes from just sitting, the step we just did, sitting with God and letting him show you what's up ahead in your life. Letting him create the vision and the plan and do those things with you to show you what's to come. And then you set the goal, you set the intention, and you give it to him. And we stop worrying about it. So how is your levels of just overflowing joy over the last 24 hours? And then what do you know to do? If we were to look out over the next day, and I want you to think of it sequentially in order. What are the things that you know to do when you wake up the next morning? What do you know to do first? And then sequentially, what do you know to do as the day unfolds? Now, is every day going to unfold exactly like you planned? Of course not. Things are going to come up that you weren't expecting, but start to think through, what do I know to do over the next day? And there might be little things to do, errands to run, things that you need to do around the house, but you also want to make sure we are getting some of those bigger things done. What's the one thing that you could get done that would move your life forward? And I like to say it this way. This is where we get into that confidence in God, where what's the things that I'm confident to do? Not the things that I'm still iffy on, I'm uncertain on. What are the things that I know to do over the next 24 hours? When we start getting into that gray area, that's where we get into trouble. But if I keep executing, what do I know to do today? I set the vision and the intention of walking out God's plan for my life, staying connected to Him. And then what do I know to do today? And as we grow more and more in our relationship with Him, we know more and more of what to do. And then executing those things, trusting that God's with you, that He's present with you, helping you do those things. And then finally, our final question. It's God's voice that leads us. He woos us from the jaws of distress. He woos us from a not good place to a spacious place free from all restriction. That's Job chapter 36. He woos us, and it's His voice. John chapter 10 says that Jesus, it's His voice that leads us out. It's His voice that leads us along that process. So what is God saying to you today? What are the things that He's been saying to you, speaking to you, teaching you, training you in, showing you? What's the most important things? If you just take a second to just write those things down, and what's going to happen is day by day you do this, He's going to begin to stack one lesson, one teaching on top of another. And it's going to lead you out of the jaws of distress to a spacious place free from all restriction. It's going to lead you to a beautiful place. And it's His grace that's going to make all that happen. So in our program, The Abundant Life Blueprint, one of the first things we got to do, and this whole program started for me with Proverbs 13:22, that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that I could pass on to future generations? And the answer to that is found in Proverbs, is wisdom, passing on lessons and accumulated wisdom and things we've learned to help them live a better life going forward. And out of everything we do, it starts with this. It starts with, all right, what's our goal in life? What's our goal in life? What are we here for? And it's setting the intention that we are here to make other people great, to bring out the best in other people. God is great Himself. And He created us because He wants this life of community and fellowship with people, because life is so much richer with a community of people around us who are all working to make each other great. And so our target, our first intention is we're going to work to make other people great. And what's the fruit of that? The result of that? Jesus said that if we abide in Him, and we abide in Him, one of the ways these daily communion messages serve to help us abide in Him and stay connected to Him every day, that our lives will produce much fruit. As we focus and set the intention of making other people great, I can trust that if I set my intention and my heart on doing that, that I'm going to become great in the process. Because to make other people great, God's got to make me great in the process. And greatness doesn't come by our own efforts. Greatness comes through God's grace flowing through us, through God flowing through us in our life. That's where that greatness comes. And Jesus says, here's some keys to greatness, that we have childlike faith. We have humility, the humility of a child, that we're practicing and teaching the commandments, that we're putting into practice the things that we know to do. And then at a certain point, we got to start teaching those to other people. And then to become the servant of many is the greatest key to becoming great in the kingdom of heaven. So childlike faith and humility. Actually, I forgot one. Gentleness. David says, God's right hand supported me and His gentleness made me great. Gentleness, practicing and teaching what you know to do. And then becoming the servant of many. And the fruit of that is that God begins to multiply every area of life. When you set your heart and intention on doing that, part of that's going to take trust that God's going to take care of you in the middle. And you're going to start to see every area of life begin to grow and to produce fruit. And it's going to start from the inside out. You're going to see a shift in your spirit. You're going to see a shift in how you feel on the inside. This connection to God is just increasing. Then it's going to begin to work into your mind and your emotions. You're going to start to feel that overflowing peace and joy and confidence in God flowing out of you. Then it's going to start to change When I've got my spirit and my mind and emotions changed, it's going to change the way I speak. It's going to change what I do in a day. And that all of a sudden is going to start to transform your relationships and your finances and your health and the sense of order you have in your life, what you do with your time. All those are going to be changed. All those are going to be shifted from the inside out. That's going to be the fruit of this. But how does this start? We have to understand this idea of making other people great. It's going to require us to stop reciprocating, and to set the intention of just doing good continually all the time, just like God is doing for us. I was doing some math work with my daughter just yesterday, and we're working on dividing fractions. And one of the videos we watched said, hey, instead of dividing the fractions, you can take the reciprocal of the fraction and multiply it by the reciprocal. I'm getting kind of technical, but you can take, you say you have 3/4, you can make the reciprocal, which is 4/3, and you can multiply the fraction by that instead of dividing it. It's much easier to do. So we started talking about what are reciprocals? What does it mean to reciprocate? Where you're mirroring back to somebody what they do to you. You're creating a mirror image. Well, in our lives, we all have gone through these phases. We start this way as little kids, where someone does something to us that we don't like. Someone does evil to us. Someone does something that we don't like. And we tend to mirror that back to them. We do evil back to them. We do something back to them that they don't like. And then it's a step of growth. We learn how to not retaliate. We learn how to shut our mouths. But then we often go to giving people the silent treatment and to avoid them and to withdraw our presence from them. But God has given us a new standard in our life. If we're going to make other people great, it requires us to stop reciprocating and to start setting the intention of just doing good all the time. Doing good all the time. Whether they do good to you, they're evil to you, they do good for you, whatever they do to you, it doesn't matter. Our goal never changes. We're setting the intention of doing good all the time for the people around us, because that's what God's doing for us. We got to receive that from Him first. That He's doing that for us. Because until we understand that, it's going to be really hard to do. And you can't do this in your own strength. This comes by grace. So let's take a look at Jeremiah chapter 32. This is Jeremiah 32, starting in verse 38. It says, I will bring them back to this place and let them live in safety. They will be my people and I will be their God. I will give them singleness of heart. That's that peace that we get from single-minded. I will give them singleness of heart and action so that they will always fear me for their own good and the good of their children after them. And here's the verse. I will make an everlasting, notice it's never going to stop, everlasting covenant with them that I will never stop doing good to them. And I will inspire them to fear me so that they will never turn away from me. I will rejoice in doing them good and will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and my soul. So God is saying, I'm going to make an everlasting covenant to never stop doing good. In the past, the people were sinning, they were missing it, they were doing evil. And when they would do bad, they would get cursed. When they would do bad, they would see God's wrath. Well, God says, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to give them this new covenant that I'm only going to do continually good for them. I'm going to never stop doing good for them. I'm going to never stop. And notice what's going to happen. It's going to inspire them to fear me. What does it mean to fear God? It means we have honor and reverence and awe and respect for Him. This is going to inspire. Grace changes our hearts. When God does continually good for us all the time, no matter what we do, it changes our hearts. It softens our hearts and makes us have awe and reverence and honor and respect for Him. And grace does the same for the people in our lives. That when we do continually good for them, this is our covenant with God to do continually good, to stop reciprocating back to people, basing our behavior and how we respond based on what they do. Our goal, whether they do good or bad to us, it never changes. Our goal is to do good all the time. And we got to stop reciprocating with that. So we're going to take communion over this. And every time we take communion, we're bringing the sacrifice of Jesus into the present moment. We're bringing it into the right now moment. Remember, there's joy in the present moment. We're bringing it right now into the present moment, and we're receiving this. We're going to receive today that because of Jesus's sacrifice, this is available to us. All the promises in Christ are yes and amen. That God is now continually working for our good, that the cup of his wrath was poured onto the body of Jesus so that God can do continually good for us all the time. And we're going to receive that, that God is working for our good all the time. And then it's about receiving that and letting it flow through us so that we do the same for others. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread and what it represents, and we just bless it in Jesus' name. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he said this very simple thing: take it. Receive it. Receive what? Receive that Jesus makes you right with God. God has stopped reciprocating to us long ago, but we're going to make it active and relevant in our lives from this point on today. He's doing good for you continually all the time. And set your mind on that. Give singleness of mind and heart on that. That God is working continually for your good. When problems and issues come at you in your life, just remember, he's doing good for me. He's working for my good. And I've got him working for my good. Then I can rest because he's given us part of what he's given us. He's given us his steadfast, unfailing love for us. And love never fails. You think about how much God loves you. If he's willing to send his one and only son to die for you, how will he not freely give you all things? He's given you his steadfast love. And then you can meditate on just his power, that nothing is impossible for him. He's going to do continually good for you, and nothing is impossible for him. And he knows the perfect thing to do at the perfect time in your life. And you just meditate on how much he loves you and how powerful he is. You combine those two things together, it will create some major shifts on the inside of you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread. And if you have your bread, you can take it now. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He says, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." The new covenant. God is working continually for your good. Forgiveness of sins. It's been rolled away. It's been washed away. And right now in this present moment, God is saying, "I'm with you. I am working continually for your good because of this covenant commitment that he made." So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this cup and we ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. So hopefully we've received that. We believe we receive the moment we pray, the moment we take this communion, that it created a turning point in our lives. That I've received this. God is working for my good. I'm going to set my mind on that and get more in the present moment with God. And now, what do you know to do? Now you know. We know to stop reciprocating. So we need to be evaluating ourselves consistently. Am I just focused on doing good continually all the time? That's our target. That's our goal. Are we going to miss it? Sure. But as soon as we recognize it, we're going to get turned back and start doing continually good all the time. And if you'll get your mind fixed that God is working for your good, you'll stay in the present moment with God where you'll let things go. Let things slide that people have done to you in the past. Let it go. Stop worrying about the future. Get in the present moment with him and keep executing the things that you know to do. I believe it's going to lead you to a beautiful place. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you know, our goal is to build a community of people that are making each other great, that are focused on doing continually good all the time. If you'd like to join us in that, partner with us in that, you can learn more at our website, theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.